Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. The child's the Christ child, Jesus Christ, a son of Israel, so to speak, and a son of David. All right, now in this part of this vision, John saw that a woman, Israel, was pregnant and was about to give birth to the Messiah. When Mary gave birth to a tiny baby in Bethlehem, the entire universe took notice, for this event held cosmic significance. This picture also symbolizes the nation of Israel agonizing for centuries as it awaits the coming Messiah, the deliverer who would destroy evil and usher in God's eternal kingdom. Now, verse 3, and another sign. The first sign is the woman clothed with the sun, pregnant. The second sign is verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. All right, now we don't need to speculate who this dragon is, because the Bible's going to tell us as much. It tells us exactly who this is. Remember, we understand the symbol and we understand the book. And sometimes when there's difficult things to understand here, he shows us, and he says it flat out in plain, ordinary terms. Let me show you where the Bible, let's go to chapter 20 if you're able to follow with me. If you have a Bible, if not, just keep on tuning in here on this Friday, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. It says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more, so that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years was finished. So Satan is Hebrew for adversary. Diabolos is Greek for slanderer or a false accuser. That's what Satan does, right? As we get later on to chapter 12, he's going to call him the accuser, the Diabolos of the brethren. Only time he tells the truth, right, is when he reminds God of your sins and mine. Why lie if he's going to talk about our sins? We're sinners. What are we going to do? Thank God, enter in the Son of God here, who died for our sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, that's right, devil. I'm a sinner. I was a sinner, but praise God, greater is he that is in me now than he who is in the world. That's right, I was a sinner, but Jesus Christ and his blood obliterates my sin. So you can talk all you want, but that's not the end of the story. Call me a sinner, go ahead, but that's not the end of the story. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I've been delivered. My sins have been obliterated. Don't forget to remind God of that. Don't forget to remind God that my sins and my lawless deeds, he will remember no more. So while you're accusing God of my sins, he's going to say, what sins is that, devil? What sins are those? Because according to the word of God, as Hebrews chapter 8 quotes Jeremiah chapter 31, that my sins and my lawless deeds, God will remember no more, because praise God, due to the Son of God, Almighty God has amnesia with my sins. He doesn't remember. That's what he says himself. Praise God. So you might be the accuser of the brethren, but that's only half the story, you see. The other half of the story is that the blood of Jesus Christ has obliterated my sin, and I can walk out of here forgiven, as pure as the driven snow, at least for a couple minutes, right? Let's move on here. Verse 3, we're in Revelation. For those who are just joining us here, we're about 17 minutes past the hour, past the half hour. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 12. We're looking at this apocalyptic scene here. We're looking at this Symbolic is the word I'm looking for. Man, oh man, we've got to understand the symbol here. The book of Revelation's talking about Israel. It was talking about the church up until the end of chapter 3. Remember, that was a division. He told John, write the things that you saw and the things which are and the things which shall be. The things which he saw was when he was up in heaven and he saw this glimpse of the Lord Jesus. He fell on his face like a dead man. And he gave us this awesome view of the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Then he dictated seven letters to give to the pastors, the messengers of seven churches. And then after that, the church age is done. Now God is dealing with the nation of Israel. And that's why it's 144,000 Jews that are sealed and have the seal of God on their forehead. These are Jews. There's no more mention of the church here anymore. I know I'm not a pre-tribulation guy, but I'll tell you what. God promises that to everyone who overcomes, I will keep them out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world. I know this, that the Lord Jesus said in his Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. This I know, that you and I and all believers in Jesus Christ are returning with him when we get to chapter 19. This I know, you and I will take part in the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to be in heaven prior to the end of the age here. So this is Israel. There's no more church mentioned here. This is God's plan with Israel. And many of them, the Bible says, Paul said, and all Israel will be saved because the deliverer will come out of Zion. And this is my plan with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, he says they're enemies. But concerning election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God's not done with the nation of Israel. He's waiting for maybe your son or your daughter or your coworker to come to the faith. Then he says in Luke 13, 24, Matthew chapter 25, Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, the time is coming when he's going to get up and he's going to shut the door. And then he'll start this plan that we're looking at with the nation of Israel, not with the Gentiles. Because the times of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled. That's why anytime you hear and read in prophecy the word Gentile, you're always going to find there the word until. Until. Luke 21, 24, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, don't measure the outer court. It's been given to the Gentiles. They will trample the holy city underfoot until, or for, 42 months. Romans 11, 25, blindness will happen, in part has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. The Gentiles has an expiration date, like a carton of milk. The time is coming when God is going to shut the door and there'll be no more Gentiles entering into the kingdom. That's why there's such an urgency for you to believe the gospel today while it's still today. Now, if God wants to let people in after he shuts the door, he's God. He does as he pleases. He doesn't need to run that by me. I'm just showing you what the word of God says. He says, strive to enter in through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, he says, many will try to get in and will not be able. I'm just going by the word of God. I'm just the preacher here sharing with you on this Friday that the time is coming that God is going to shut the door. And when he does, people are still going to want to get in. But they will not be able. Matthew chapter 25 as well. It says those that were ready went in with him to the feast, marriage feast, I believe. That's the parable was of a wedding. Those that were ready went in with him to the feast. And it says then, it says that the door was shut. And just like Luke 13, 24, there were still people. They came afterwards. They knocked at that door. They said, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. And he said, I don't know you. And he said, I don't even know where you live. Let not the Lord say that about you today. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't even know where you live. Does the Lord know where you live? Does he have your home address of your heart? Not your house, but your home. Have you invited the Lord into your home? Remember, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, open up. And he says, I will come and sup with him. He'll have dinner with you. Let me encourage you here today on this Friday. Does the Lord Jesus Christ know where you live? Let him in today while it's still today. The time is running out. Naturally, even if I'm still wrong, I'm not wrong, because we read in the Bible that now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And there's coming a time when this last seat is going to be filled in the kingdom. Let me encourage you, ensure that you have taken your seat today by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Apostle Paul also says, for with the heart, one believes. That is, do you believe Jesus Christ as Lord? He wants you to receive him today. As many as received him, to them he gave them the authority or the power or the right, depending on how you translate that Greek word, exousia. He's given you the power. He's given you the authority. And you have the right here today on this Friday to be a child and one of the sons of God. To as many as receive him, as many as call on the name of the Lord. For all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me encourage you on this Friday to make sure you do that. Make sure you reserve and you take your seat in the kingdom. There's a great big banquet hall up there, and there's a little placard on there like a wedding. If you've ever been invited to a wedding before, sometimes they got a little card there and they've got your name on it. That's what Peter says. That's what it's going to look like up there, that your seat is reserved in heaven. We'll pick it up here again. We're in Revelation chapter 12. We'll pick it up here on Monday as we continue this look here on this, what's going on up in heaven, the cosmic struggle and fight between good and evil that John has given us a little inside baseball glimpse into. We'll pick it up there on Monday. Love to see you guys at church here this weekend. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. We're really going to look at the spirit of holiness that you and I have. All Christians possess the spirit of holiness. Love to see you on Sunday. That's what we're going to look at here. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.